revealed to us. Please open up your Bibles in the book of Job. The book of Job. Now this morning I'm going to start off with a topic that I don't know how long it's going to take for us to work through it, because it's such an awesome topic. It is also a troublesome topic for many believers, professing believers specifically. And that topic is the sovereignty of God. Now, I have themed this message, well, part one of I don't know how many. I'm already busy with part two and part three. But I've themed this message, God is sovereign whether we believe it or not. I actually started off by saying God is sovereign whether we like it or not, or whether we accept it or not. God is sovereign. And what we need to do is to maybe spend some time and just think about it. Allow your mind to work through the concept of God being sovereign. And the interesting thing is, when we think of God's sovereignty, I believe that if I had to sit with each one of you and ask you, how do you understand God's sovereignty? I think I would have as many answers as the amount of people that is in this building. Things would obviously be the same, but people have different understandings of God's sovereignty, and many times those things are not biblical at all. They think it's biblical, but it's not. Now, I had an experience this past week, and it was quite challenging for me. Actually, on Wednesday evening, I started bleeding, and it happened before, so I wasn't that concerned. I was concerned, but not that concerned. But this time, it continued into early hours of Thursday morning. So around about 2 o'clock on Thursday morning, I was still bleeding. And it was after this session when I got into bed and I was lying there. And I could feel that I was going to sleep, but I wasn't, you know, this in-between kind of state where a lot of questions just started pouring through my mind. I think it's a dangerous time, by the way, to lie in bed and to start thinking about so many things. It was a scary time, especially not knowing what to expect. At one stage, I was thinking, maybe I would just lie here, and that would be actually cool if I could just, you know, go into a sleep and not wake up. That would be awesome. Even though I had pain, but that would be fantastic, just going to sleep and not wake up. But then immediately the thought went through my mind, but am I really ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I ready? I mean, the Lord has been so gracious to me. I mean, since I've been diagnosed, and it's been more than a year now since I've been diagnosed, and the Lord has added a year to my life. He's given me a year. Another question that went through my mind is, what have I done with it? Have I really used the time that God has given me effectively? Have I used every moment that the Lord has given me to glorify Him and to live the kind of life that is pleasing to Him? But that wasn't it. Those were the only questions that went through my mind. I can't even tell you all the questions. It was just so many things that just went through this mind of mine, because it took some time for me to fall asleep. Afterwards, I was thinking, where is God in all of this? Not that I don't know that God is with me. I mean, I know God is with me. I know what Scripture teaches. I'm just sharing some of the human things that I go through as well as a human being. I'm just a human being. Yes, I'm elder of the church, I'm pastor of the church, and I preach by God's grace every Sunday, but I'm human. I also have questions. One of the questions is, where is God in all of this? Is God really in full control of my situation? To be honest with you, it doesn't feel like it. But remember, we don't walk by sight and by feelings. We walk by faith. So it's hard, but still. The feelings come and you think and you feel, is God really in control? And I'm talking about, does He have control of every single small aspect of my life? Yes, I know God is concerned and God looks after me and he provides and all these kind of things, but at that moment, that was the question. And I mean, I say that I believe that God is sovereign. You would have heard me say it many times. I believe that God is sovereign. But what do I really believe about His sovereignty? Do I really believe that God has complete control over every tiny aspect of my life? Do I really believe it? Is it truth in my heart? Not just knowledge in my head. You know the difference. No? And then I realized, if I wrestle with God's sovereignty, and let me tell you, it's a troublesome doctrine. It's a difficult doctrine. Difficult for people to accept. Difficult for people to understand. If I wrestle with God's sovereignty, I realize, but there could be others who also wrestle with it. Maybe we all wrestle with it in a different way, but there's going to come a time in your own life that I believe that you will wrestle with God's sovereignty in a situation that you might face. Maybe you've already had it. Maybe you've had in a situation where you wrestle with, is God really in control of this? Why does He feel so far away? Why does it feel as if I am in this all by myself? Where is God? Is He really in control? Because it feels like He doesn't have control over this. This is just too much. And then a question that I can ask you, have you ever doubted whether God has ultimate control? If you believe that He has control, have you had times where you doubt that God is actually in full control? I'm talking about full control of every aspect. You know, like what Jesus spoke about, not one hair will fall from our head without the will of God. That kind of control. I believe, beloved, and this is why I decided, I believe that God is leading me. I believe that many professing believers wrestle with God's sovereignty. I really do believe that. There are many professing believers who have more questions than answers when it comes to the issues of life. And in Scripture, I would like us to go to one of those people who had more questions than answers. And that person is Job. So just open up in Job. We're going to read a few places, a few verses in Job. But please open and keep your Bibles open in Job. Before we continue, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, when we think of this topic, Your sovereignty, the fact that You have ultimate control of everything because You are King. Father, it's such a tough topic to understand. So I want to pray, Father, as we dig into this topic, I pray, will You please open up our hearts to receive the truth of Your Word so that we may believe it? Give us minds that are open to receive the knowledge of Your Word so that we may understand and take to heart, to in our minds, take it to heart what You say and have the knowledge about it. And I pray, Father, that You will please enable me as Your servant to teach it so that at the end of the day, we may have a better understanding of your sovereignty, a greater appreciation of who you are. And above all, Father, that we will glorify you more. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, when we look at the life of Job, I mean, this life is described to us in poetic form. If you read the book of Job, you will see it's poetry. Amazing, beautiful, beautiful poetry. And most probably the book of Job is the first book that was ever written. That's the first book of the Bible, even though it's not placed as the first book in the Bible. It's most probably the oldest book of the Bible. And let me tell you, if you read the book of Job, the first time I actually encountered Job was when I think I was in high school. And somehow I just opened up the Bible and it opened up at Job and I started reading this story. And I just caught on to it. I mean, it just really touched my heart. Because here is a man that went through, put it in inverted commas, that went through hell. He had a hard time, this guy. But Job was a blameless and upright man, we read in chapter 1. He feared God and he shunned evil. Besides that, he was wealthy. In fact, we read that he was the greatest of all the people in the East. The greatest, which means he had the most wealth of all the people in the East. He was married, and he was blessed with 7 sons and 3 daughters. When was the last time you saw a family of 10 children? I think the last time that happened, well, maybe there are still some, but they are very far and few, but you know, few and far between. Not a lot of families that's got 10 children nowadays. By the way, Scripture says that children are a blessing from the Lord, so he was really blessed even with children. And besides his wealth and his family, he had good health. That was Job. I mean, amazing guy. Upright, blameless, feared God, shunned evil. Sounds like a Christian, eh? Or sounds like what a Christian should be like. Now, when you read the book of Job, it doesn't take you long before you realize and your mind is just blown away by the events which happens in the spirit world. And by the way, Job knows nothing about what's happening behind the scenes. The only thing he knows is what is happening in front of him. And what was happening in front of him was devastating. Now, we're told in the book of Job that he was living a blessed life. He was doing his thing, blessed his family, and he was completely unaware of what was happening in the spiritual realm. But things happened that turned this man's life upside down completely. And he had no clue why. He didn't have a clue why these things were happening. No wonder Job started asking question upon question upon question. No wonder his friends had all the things they had to say, but in their minds they must have had so many questions. You see, while Job was minding his own business, going on with his life, God allowed Satan to attack his wealth, his family, and his health. Every aspect of Job's being was attacked. It's amazing to read that God was the one who directed Satan's attention to Job. It wasn't Satan that came to God and accused Job of anything. It was God who said to Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job?" See, Satan didn't notice Job. God pointed Job out to Satan. God asked Satan if he considered his servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, that he is a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. That's the way God introduced Job to Satan. Have you noticed my servant, Satan? And obviously that would put Satan's attention on Job, no? Wouldn't it? So Satan told God that the only reason why Job is blameless is because God is blessing him. I mean, wow, if you've been blessed the way that Job has been blessed, obviously Job won't curse God. Obviously. So Satan says to Job, to God, says, listen, this is just a paraphrase, no? Listen, God, if you take away everything that you've blessed Job with, he will curse you in your face. Kind of mark my words, he will curse you in your face. The reason why he's not cursing you is because you've blessed him. That's the reason. So God gave everything that Job had over into Satan's hands, but he was not allowed to touch the life of Job. Everything else was given in Satan's hands, and Satan could do with Job whatever he wanted. Seems like it, huh? If you read the text, it seems like he could do whatever he wanted. But the interesting thing was that God was still in control. Even though it seems as if God had no control. As if God was the one who said, all right, you're going to do whatever you want, Satan. No, God had full control. And after Job lost his wealth and after he lost his children, he still continued to serve God. In Job chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, we read the following. And this is what Job says, this man that's just lost everything. And by the way, those people who have lost a child, parents who've lost a child, will know what Job went through. Job didn't lose one child or two children or three children. He lost 10 children at once. They were wiped out in one moment. So verse 21 and verse 22, everything that Job possessed, everything that he had was touched, and this is what he says. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then it says in verse 22, in all this Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. Amazing. No wonder this man was an upright man. Then we read that God allowed Satan to attack Job's body. He was not allowed to kill Job. He was not allowed to take his life, but he could attack his body. He could do with his body whatever he wanted, but he wasn't allowed to kill him. So Satan struck Job with boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. And Job ended up sitting on a heap of ash. Or in the ash. That's where Job ended up. That wasn't all. His wife came along and she said to Job, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But Job rebuked his wife and refused to sin against God with his lips. That's what the text tells us. He refused to sin against God by saying something that wasn't right about God. See, it was an amazing culmination of events. It was just beyond anybody's understanding. All the things that happened to this man. And Job was clueless as to why these things happened. Still, he would not sin against God with his lips. By the way, I take my hat off to him. I take my hat off to this man. Now the question is, where was God during Job's time of suffering? God gave Satan free range over Job. Was God in control? Was God the one who had ultimate control over the situation? Because he just gave Satan free rein over one of his servants. Someone who was upright, blameless, who hated evil, who loved God, feared God. I mean, why did God allow this upright man to suffer so much? And this under the hand of Satan. And the thing that struck me the most is, God doesn't tell Job about it. He keeps Job in the dark. He leaves Job with all these questions. Why is this happening to me? I'm not going to curse God. Obviously, I won't do that. But why? And God doesn't answer him. In fact, when God starts speaking to Job later on in the book, God questions Job, and God takes him on. And God takes on the kind of understanding that Job had about God, because Job's understanding of God was wrong. His friends, they had a wrong understanding of God, because their understanding was formed by what they heard rather than who God really was. And God was challenging Job's perspective on who God is. And I believe that the sovereignty of God falls into that category, where we do not understand God's sovereignty. We can't, because it's too huge for us to understand. Now, beloved, we need to understand that Job lost everything. Humanly speaking, he lost everything. But he did nothing wrong. He did not squander his wealth and ended up bankrupt. He didn't live the kind of life in extravagance and then wasted his wealth, and that's why he lost it. He lost everything in a very short period of time without any fault of his own. He did nothing wrong. Yet he lost everything. Job didn't do anything to warrant the death of his 10 children. I mean, he was a good example of what a God-fearing man should look like. Like, he was a God-fearing father to his children, teaching them the right thing about God, teaching them what it means to fear God, to be upright. He was a man of integrity. But in one moment, Job lost all of his children. Where was God? Why would God allow all these things to happen to an upright man? Why would God allow Satan to attack this man's life? Why would God do such a thing? Isn't God the one who blesses those who do right and punishes those who do wrong? Isn't God the one who blesses the righteous and causes the wicked to perish? So if God is truly sovereign, why did he allow Satan to destroy a man's wealth, his children, and his health, even though this man feared God, was upright and blameless? It just doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense. But beloved, there's one thing that I need to say just quickly. We need to notice that God's wisdom is not our wisdom. God's ways are not our ways. God is far above us. Far, far above us. What I do believe is that the life of Job gives us a glimpse into the mystery. Or let's call it, it gives us a glimpse of the mysteries of the God we worship, into the mysteries of who He is. It doesn't give us an understanding of why He does it and how He does it. And it doesn't tell us everything, but it gives us a glimpse into the mysteries of God so that we can understand that there's going to be things that will happen in our lives that we do not understand. But one thing we can know is that God is in control, no matter what. And beloved, when we think we have God all figured out, and there are many people, when you listen to them, you think, wow, I wish I was like you, because it seems like you've got God all figured out, man. You know all the doctrines. You can put it on your fingers, point one, point two, point three, point four, and you can go on, and everything is just clear cut to you. I believe if you think you've got God all figured out, a book like the book of Job is there to cause us to stop in our tracks and to say, I need to get to the point where I understand that God is God indeed. That's it. He's God. I'm human. There are some things that are just above my pay grade. It's too high for me to understand. It's too huge for my small brain to comprehend. See, God's wisdom is far above our wisdom. God's ways are far above our ways, because God is God and that is it. Either we accept it or we will always wrestle with God's sovereignty. Because God's sovereignty is not something that I figure out. Something I believe or I don't. God's sovereignty is amazing if we accept it. If you do not, very hard to live life with all its complications and all the things that happens around us. I think we should stop trying to pin God down and to squeeze Him into our little man-made boxes, because that's what we try to do. We try to bring God down to our level, our understanding, so that we can have God all figured out. That's what we try to do. When in fact, God is far above us. God is God. He is sovereign. And He's over all. God is sovereignly in control of everything, every single little detail in His creation, because He is the one who created. And do we understand how God can control everything all at the same time? Every single detail of it? Nope. There's no way. God is God. We are flesh. God knows all. We don't. God was there in the beginning. We were not. God knows what He's doing. We don't. Make peace with it. We're human. God is God. Thing is, we do not have all the understanding of God's sovereignty. We don't. But unfortunately, as I said before, we do understand something of God's sovereignty, but unfortunately, it's so many times it's unbiblical, because it's only things that we've heard from others. And it's wrong. It's not biblical. Many professing believers have the understanding of Job's friends about what was happening to Job, for example. Because they believed that you experience God's blessing if everything in life is going well. So God is not blessing you when things are going badly. Nah? If you prosper, then it means that God is blessing you. If things go bad, then it means that God is not blessing you. When things go well and you prosper, it means that you are doing things right. When things go bad and you suffer, it means that you have sinned and you are experiencing the consequences of your sin. Now, it's true that we will reap what we've sown. It's a biblical term. It's a biblical concept. But beloved, if there's one thing that I've realized in my time that I've served the Lord, is that things are much more complicated. Much more complicated in this life than just figuring it out quickly and simply. We must remember that we have the revelation of God. Let's say God is as huge as this auditorium, and the revelation He has given us of Himself is as big as this piece of paper. That's how much we know about Him. That's how much He has revealed about Him. But it's enough for us to believe, and it's enough for us to know that He is in control. It's enough for us to accept and believe that He is sovereign. But it's not enough. His revelation is not enough that we can now pinpoint God and say, oh, I know everything about Him, because that's not true. That's not true at all. There are many professing believers today who believe the way that Job and his friends did. And by the way, Job believed it at first, but his mind was changed quickly. They believe that if things go well, God is blessing you. If things go badly, God is not blessing you. As if when Job lost everything and he lost his children and his body was attacked and he was sick, that meant that God was not blessing Job. In the meantime, God was blessing Job, but on a completely different level. His blessing was spiritual. His blessing was going to come. And he had to go through what he went through because the blessing was on its way. When he was confronted by God Himself and He says, I have heard of you before, now I've seen you. See, the troubles that Job went through, the heartaches and the pain and the suffering he went through, came to a pivotal point at the end of Job when Job sees God face to face. And he encounters the true God and not the God of his own imagination. Because Job had an understanding of God, but it was not the God of the Bible. It was not the Creator God. So I believe that the book of Job destroys the notion that we are blessed by God if we do well, and that we are not blessed by God when things go badly. God is in control no matter what my circumstances are. And God's blessing does not depend on me. When we get seriously ill, when we lose our job, when we lose loved ones, when we lose our homes, when we lose our savings, when we get COVID, the big buzz thing, the day and age that we're living in, everybody afraid of all these things, has God all of a sudden lost control? Is God all of a sudden, is He not sovereign anymore? Now, Job's friends believed that Job sinned against God. Now, if you read the book, you will see that his friends would say, now, Job, you did something wrong. You sinned. That's why you're not blessed. That's why all these calamities, all these things happen to you, because you have sinned against God. And Job sits there and says, I haven't. I've searched. There's nothing. His friend says, there must be something. Because you are always blessed if things go well. When things do not go well, it means God is not blessing you. You have sinned against God. It wasn't true. Job never sinned against God. God gave Satan free rein over Job. So you could say, that the source of Job's trouble was God. Doesn't mean that God does evil, no? Please don't get me wrong. But God is in control even if evil things happen to us. You see, Job nor his friends understood God, and they didn't understand God's dealings with his creation. Because God is the one who does what he does because he's God. He knows things that we don't know. He knows how things work. We don't. Science is always searching to find out more and more. And scientists have become so clever. But they know so little. In fact, when you look at creation, they hardly know anything. But the Bible says that knowledge puffs up, hey? You see a lot of pride people around the world because they think, because they know a little bit, because they have knowledge. Now all of a sudden they can tell God things and they know exactly how things work and they can walk around with their knowledge and their pride. And let me tell you, you can see it. How pride just, how knowledge just puffs people up. Now, Job and his friends were trying to figure out what was happening to Job. And they were trying to do it with this limited understanding that they had. But the thing is that God is much, much more superior than their little small minds. That's why God, from chapter 38, God has to take Job on and say, okay, Job, now you keep quiet, let me talk. Let me talk to you. And it's interesting how Job and his friends thought they understood who God was, but they didn't really know him. I mean, Job knew some things about God, but he didn't know God. And how could he? How could he really know God in his fullness? Because he's human. In fact, Job made this amazing confession. Go to chapter 42 quickly. Chapter 42. We're going to start with verse 1. Job 42, verse 1. Now you must remember, this is after there's been this to and fro thing between Job and his friends, and they were going upside down and up there, yeah, left and right and whatever. From chapter 38, God started questioning Job. In chapter 42, verse 1, this is what we read. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld for you, which means whatever you decide, God, nobody can prevent you from doing what you want to do. Verse 3, you ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I do not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please. And let me speak. You said, I will question you and you shall answer me. And then he says in verse 5, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees you. See, Job heard many things about God. But the moment God started questioning Job and revealed something about himself to Job, Job became very silent. Because Job saw himself as a human being in comparison to the Almighty God. There are many professing believers today who think that they know God, when in fact they only know a few things about God. And they know a lot of things which they've only heard. I believe it really takes an encounter with God like the one that Job had for us to get to the point where we are silenced and to start to really listen to what God is telling us about who He is. Beloved, God is sovereignly in control of every little detail aspect of our lives. And the only time that we will really come to grips with it is when we have seen God the way that Job did. And I'm not saying that we need to physically see God or hear His voice like Job did. I'm not saying that for one moment. But I believe we need to have an encounter with God. When I read the scriptures, I need to be silent and listen. And allow Him to reveal Himself to us, who He is. And stop reading things into who God is, who He is not. Remember that Job and his friends had a lot to say about his situation until God took Job and He interrogated him like a lawyer would do to a witness. God had to intervene and get Job to shut up. And sometimes it takes a tough situation in our lives. Sometimes it takes suffering. Sometimes it takes a moment where you think, I don't know what to expect now. Things are just too tough. To get us to shut up. Excuse me. But because we think we know too much. We need to shut up. And get to know God for who He is. In chapter 38, verse 2, if you can turn there. This is what we read. God says to Job, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" It's kind of, Job, your friends are counseling you and they haven't got a clue what they're talking about. In our terms, they're a bunch of idiots trying to tell you about things they do not understand. And you are trying to figure out things, Job, that is too high for your little brain to understand. You do not have that kind of knowledge. You don't have it. You see, Job and his friends were clueless about Job's situation. But they had a lot to say about it. They acted like typical human beings. We think we know a lot. But in fact, we know very little. Now, when we go to chapter 38, you see God started asking Job some difficult questions. The first thing God asks Job is this. Job, did you participate in creation? Were you there? Obviously, Job could only give one answer. Nah. No. I wasn't there. So how in the world will you know anything about creation if you were not there? If you are not the one who made everything, how in the world can you try to explain creation, Job? How can you try to explain things that are too marvelous and too great for you and your friends as well? I mean, Job had nothing to do with creation, so he couldn't say anything about things that he doesn't know anything about. Now think about it for a moment. Job and his friends were saying all kind of things about God, but they were saying it in ignorance. They were speaking about things which they could never understand because they are human beings. Only God knows all things. God knows how creation works. God is the one who made it all. But wow, human beings have become so clever. So it must have been a humbling moment when Job was confronted with his ignorance. Job, you want to talk about creation? Come, let's talk about creation. And the only question God had to ask Job is, Job, where were you? Were you there? If you were not there and you did not create everything, Job, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Kind of makes me think of these evolutionists, huh? Make me think of these scientists. Oh, we've figured it out. We just want to get to that point of the Big Bang. And we'll have God, oh, we'll have creation, and not creation, we'll have our existence all figured out. I think it's time for them to shut up. Like Job had to shut up, and he was an upright man. But God doesn't end by asking Job about creation, where he observed creation. He asks Job about the boundaries of the sea. The fact that the sea doesn't go further than what it can, than it does. Job just asked if he could command the morning to rise. God asks him if he entered the deepest caverns of the sea. In Job 38, verse 17, God pushes it up a notch or two, because God asks Job if the gates of death have been revealed to him. Remember, if Job had seen the gates of death, it means he's dead. So how in the world can Job talk about death if he's not dead? He's still alive. And then God asks him if he knew the origins of light and darkness. God asks Job if he entered the place where snow and hail was formed. God asks Job if he knew the way to where the light is distributed and where the east wind comes from. He asked him who causes rain to fall in the desert and make grass to grow in the desert without anybody being there to enjoy it. And then God continues to bombard Job with the one question after the other. And obviously, Job couldn't answer one of the questions because God asked him about things that he had no clue about. What a humbling moment for that man. And I believe, that's just my understanding, that what Job experienced opened up his heart to listen to God and then to say, I haven't got a clue. If everything went well and he was blessed, most probably he would have had a big mouth about a lot of stuff. But he's suffering. Got him to the point where he kept silent because he didn't have everything figured out. God was bigger and greater than Job and his friends and all the counsel he could get. In chapter 38, verse 39 to 39, verse 30, God asks Job about some humiliating questions about whether he could take care of the animal kingdom. Verse 41 of chapter 38, it says, this is God asking Job, Job, who provides food for the raven when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? Job, who looks after the animals? We're clever now. We know. Science tells us. Natural science tells us that this animal eats that animal and this one gets that one. And people, they evolve and they do all these kind of things and you have grass and all that stuff. God is asking the question, scientists, you know that much. Can you look after all the animals? You think you are so clever. Can you look after all the animals at the same time? Can you? If you can't, shut up. Who provides food for them? I mean, we're responsible for the our domestic animals. But who provides food for all the other animals? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, it says, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet evolution looks after them." No, that's a misquote. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Then he says, are you not more valuable than they? It is God who provides food for the birds of the air. How does he do it? Science gives us a little glimpse of it, small little glimpse of it, but they can't tell us everything. You see, because there's another thing that Jesus said in Matthew 10:29. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will." Not one sparrow will fall to the ground without it being God's will that that sparrow die and become the food of another animal or of bacteria or whatever. Beloved, God is in control. Whether we believe it or not. Now, shall we trust science? Or shall we trust God, who made everything and allows everything to happen according to his will? Please don't get me wrong, I'm not anti-science. I do believe that science has its place. But science, the place of science is to look at creation and then come to the conclusion at the end, wow, amazing what God has done. Just to quickly tell you, I have cancer and I had COVID. And I'm still here. Why? Why? Is it because of medical science? Is it because I'm wearing a mask? With the mask, I got COVID. You know why I'm here? It's because it's God's will. If it was God's will for me to die from COVID, I would have been dead now. The question is, do we still believe that? Do we still believe that God is sovereignly in control of every aspect of my life? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't follow the health regulations and that kind of thing. That's not what I'm saying. Do it. Nothing will happen to your life that God has no control over. Nothing. He is in full control of every aspect of your life. If a sparrow is so important that a sparrow do not fall to the ground or die without God's will, how much more you and me? I think it's time for us to shut up and to get back to who God is. Stop listening to the scientists who doesn't know what they're talking about. They might know their field, but God is sovereign. Right, let me conclude. In chapter 40, Job is moved to silence. And we read in verse 3 to 5 in Job chapter 40. Most awesome words. Then Job answered the Lord and said, verse 4, "Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth," which means that I'm now keeping quiet, Lord. I am now shut up in. There's no such word, but I'm. It says in verse 5, I have spoken once, and I will not answer twice. But I will proceed no further. Because Job, in his suffering, came to the conclusion. And after God has spoken to him and asked him all these questions, Job came to the conclusion, I think it's time to shut up. And when I believe when it comes to God's sovereignty and who God is, I think it's time for people to shut up and to really start listening to what God says in his word. You see, even though Job was now moved to silence, thing is, God wasn't done with him yet. He went on speaking about two animals, Behemoth and Leviathan. And John MacArthur says the following about these animals. He says, these are two creatures, powerful and fearful, who embodied all that is overwhelming, uncontrollable, and terrorizing in this world. Man cannot control them, but God can. So God uses two amazing animals and says, can you control them, Job? It's kind of God just rubbing some salt into the wound, eh? See, after God interrogated Job the second time, I want to read Job's response to you again in chapter 42. We've read it before. Let me just read it again. Because I think it's one of the most amazing conclusions that anybody can reach. And it's interesting that God doesn't answer the question, why did Job suffer? We know the answer. Because it's written. We know Satan was the one who caused these, who did all these things to Job. Job didn't know. Even when God spoke to him, God didn't tell him. God confronted Job's understanding of who God is, because Job had to learn to trust God completely with every single aspect of his life, no matter what happens to him. Hard place to be. Tough place to be, especially if you don't have all the answers to the tough questions that we have. Verse 1, Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is that who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will answer you, and you make it known to me. I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. And I want you to listen to Job's response in verse 6. Here's an upright man, blameless, who fears God, who shuns evil, who did nothing wrong, whose life was shred to pieces. Listen to verse 6. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Why does Job repent? Can I tell you what I think? I believe that Job was serving an idol and not the Creator God. He was serving a God that he created in his own image, in the likeness of mankind. Job wasn't worshiping the God who created all things. He was worshiping a God that was in his own mind. And Job had to get to the point where he would shut up and listen to God, and to listen to who God is. And that, beloved, includes when we talk about the sovereignty of God. We need to shut up and hear what God has to say without us coming to our own bringing our own understanding and our own conclusions into things. We need to humbly submit ourselves to the Almighty God. And I believe we need to repent, like Job, of our arrogance. Stop trying to figure God out and start listening to who He is from His Word. Stop questioning God, because there's going to come a time maybe that God is going to do the same as He did with Job and reveal Himself to you, but He will reveal Himself to you in your suffering. And may we be open when that happens to be confronted with who God is. God is sovereign whether we believe it or not. This is just kind of an introduction. God willing, next week we'll dig into some of the beautiful texts that Brother Nelson also touched on this morning. A.W. Pink said the following, talking about the sovereignty of God, and that's why I've zoomed in on the fact that God is God. He says, to say that God is sovereign is basically to say that God is God. That's what it means to say that God is sovereign. I am saying that God is God. I pray for each one of us that we may get to the place, if you are not there yet, where just like Job, we become silent. That we shut up and allow the Scripture to tell us who God is, and that we will believe what Scripture teaches. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that those things that are really of no use that I've said this morning, that it will just disappear. But those things, Father, that needed to be said, those things that we need to take to heart, that those things will burn into our hearts. And that what you want to accomplish through your word that went out this morning, Father, that it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that which you set it out to accomplish. You are God. There is none like you. Never was and never will. And in our silence, please, Father, reveal yourself to us as you did to Job, in Jesus' name.